I would start by giving a few thoughts, share a few things about the scripture in the Gospel of John and in chapter 12, actually. We won't read the whole chapter for the sake of time, but this chapter is quite interesting because it's nested between chapter 11, as you recall, chapter 11. We can read about the resurrection of Lazarus, and John 11:25, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and life, and then chapter 13. And chapter 13 will open the upper room discourses, and a lot of things is happening in a few weeks there. In chapter 13, you have like the interchange with Peter, and then you have a lot of other things going on. But when you read again, you know, the chapter 12. It's quite interesting to read from the point of view of people. What's the interaction of Jesus with people? What can you learn on that chapter about, for example, evangelism? And I believe that we can learn a lot of things in those at least 30 verses there. For example, how do Christians serve God? It's one of the questions that you may ask, and we all know this. I mean, about Martha and Mary, and they are here. They come for a meal once again. Martha exemplifies the achievers or the activists, maybe. Positively, she represents those who serve. They serve work. She works hard. She have goals. She achieve results. And negatively, she could also represent those who beat the air and those who run off all the time and accomplish little. And you have Mary, and Mary exemplifies the worshippers or the seekers. So positively, they seek the face of God, and they pray, they worship, and you know all this story about that you can read here about Mary just pouring this perfume on the feet of Jesus as a sign of worship and adoration. To Jesus, who is going, is set to the cross. In a few hours, he will be on the cross. So, that was a little painting from Vermeer van Delft about Christ in the house of Martha and Mary. So, how do Christians serve God? So, you have Lazarus, as well as Philip and Andrews, and they exemplify the communicators. For example, Lazarus had something to tell people. And you read in this story that a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed also in Jesus. And so you have Lazarus, with a great testimony, but you have also Philip. Philip came and told Andrew in verse 22, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. And verses 16, we read that his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that he had done these things to him. And we read finally in verse 17 that they bore witness of those things, and John is the one reporting all the story here. So you've got the communicators. Here another painting of the raising of Lazarus from Rembrandt. Another question is, why do people seek God? Why do people seek God? What is their motivation, actually? And so here we see that there's a big crowd of all kind of people, and they come. And they saw Jesus, not for Jesus himself, but because he is a miracle performer. They want to see miracles. And this is what I call the seers. The seers. Actually, here I'm going to give you a few different categories of people using alliteration. That is a word that will start with the same letter, like here it would be an S. You know, the Baptist preacher, they do this quite a bit. They do a lot of alliteration, but you have the seers. They want to see. And the crowd, the great multitude, they make Jesus king. But five days later, they will crowd, crucify him. So you have the seers, but you have also what the one I call the stinkers. That has I had to find a word with an S. So those are the chief priests. They wanted Jesus dead. And you see, or we read of those interchange between Jesus and those priests, and who are they want to do a lot of. They want to uphold tradition, but they don't want really to seek God for himself. And you do have the seekers. You have the seekers. Here you've got a lot of Greek proselytes. You know, those are those who are Greek, but they wanted to embrace Judaism. So they come and they say, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Oh, that's I love that sentence, because for an evangelist or a teacher, that's great to see people who want to see Jesus. And we wish that we could see a lot of those people on the field. It's not always the case. So you have the seers, the stinkers, the seekers, and the sowers. The sowers are the disciples. The disciples brought them to Jesus. So another question that we may ask ourselves as we read this text, you remember that we are going to read those verses, but how do people hear God? You have those who do not discern any word. When you preach a gospel, and this is often the case in Europe, in France or Italy or southern Europe, people do not understand what you are talking about. They don't know God, they don't know the scripture, never heard of the Bible, never heard of the Bible stories. And when you explain the gospel, they don't understand, they don't hear it, they don't hear the voice of God. Here we read that now Jesus says, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Or what they heard was a big noise. They just heard a big noise. But some others, they understood that God was speaking, or something happened, supernatural thing happened. So there are those who hear the words but are unable to identify the voice of God. And we read in verse 29 that others said, an angel has spoken to him. An angel. So some say, it's a big thunder. Well, I don't know what's going on here. It's big thunder. No, some others say, well, no, somebody spoke. An angel spoke to him. But then there are those who hear the voice of God, but they understand later, and this is the case, for example, of John here, who bore witness. And another thing is a question that we may ask ourselves, why do people do not hear the voice of God? Why they don't hear? When you spell out clearly the message of the gospel, they hear your words, they hear, I mean, the Bible stories and the story of redemption, but they don't hear the voice of God. Then the first things I was thinking is that you have to realize that that there are two opposite workings there. There is, in verse 30 to 32, we read, Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, or Jesus, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. So on one hand, you have the rule of this world who takes away the seed, as we read in the parable of the ground. And on the other hand, you have the Holy Spirit who is speaking, and Jesus himself says, I will draw all people to myself. So, on one hand, you have the work of Satan, and on the other hand, you have the universal calling of Jesus. I will draw all people, and John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Why do people do not hear the words of God? Well, there is a problem of tradition. In verse 32 to 36, we read those verses, and for example, 34 to 36, the people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And that's a legitimate question, to which you have to give also a legitimate response. And we found that in France, once was hailed as the granddaughter of the Catholic Church. I used to say 30 years ago that 85% of the French are Catholic. It's no longer the case. It only 6% claim to be Catholic now in France. Most French are agnostics. But the thing is about the Catholic is that they have their tradition. They have two authority. They have the tradition, and maybe some scriptures. The Catholics start now to have Bible studies and to have prayer meetings, which is a good thing. And if we can assist with that, then we would do it. And verse 36, Jesus' response was, believe in the light and his work. There's also the problem of human unbelief in verse 37. But although we had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. This is what is written here. They did not believe in him. This is the big problem, is unbelief. And sometimes we wonder why is it so difficult in Western Europe to preach a gospel. It's because there is this unbelief there, because of materialism, because of intellectualism and all the ism you may want to think. And so that's why people do not hear the word of God. And there's another problem, is the problem for the hardening of the heart, of God's hardening hearts. That's quite interesting, but we read in the text here that Jesus says, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of a light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. The things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. So the thing is that you preach the gospel, and there's the calling of the Holy Spirit, but people harden their hearts. And then God hardened the heart of those people so that they can even understand, just like he did for Pharaoh. Those are difficult questions, you know, why would God harden the heart of people? But this happened because they closed their mind to God, and they don't want to have anything for him. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, and you have been concerned, you are concerned about people, and you creating man as male and female, and you gave them the responsibility to administer the world. And even man fell into sin, you came back and you found a way to reconcile your creation to yourself. Jesus was a man of people, and he loved people. And for us, it's not always easy to love people and to reach out. And for me, particularly. It's not necessarily easy to reach out to people. But we want to pray that we can learn more and more how to share this good news that you have entrusted us, and that we can introduce those people to you, regardless of what might be their motivations. And sometimes we know that they may have a lot of obstacles that will hinder their belief in you. Give us wisdom to know how to lift up objections that people might have. Give us also to ingenuity to know how to create events, do things to introduce them to you. Pray, Lord, for this my fellow believers here. I know that they are interested in mission. They hear a lot about mission, and they give a lot of their money and also time to mission. Pray your blessing upon them, and let's do them good, especially during the coming days. I pray for those who are elderly and those who are sick as well, that you meet them in their demise. And we thank you very much in the name of Jesus. Amen.